Well, one thing, as we open up this lesson, I've entitled these couple of messages, and we'll share one today and another one when I come back. But I've entitled this, God's Love, Your Quest. And today's message, that's just a series of messages, but this message is going to be called Follow After Love. Follow After Love. You know, we know that scripture, and we'll get to it in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. It says, follow after charity in the King James, and other translations say, follow after love, pursue it. But when we talk about the love of God, you cannot love without having his nature. You can't love. God is love. And so for me, when we look at the scriptures, the only way that we can love is to have his nature, to have eternal life. And so when we look at that, John 3:16, how God so what loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. And we know 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, a new kind of being. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. So we can see from the scriptures, John 5, verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. This is the Zoe, the God kind of life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So this here is showing us that when we seek him, we believe in him, we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, then it means, it says what? We receive, we have everlasting life. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, it doesn't mean you don't miss it. It just means you don't practice sin. That's what that means. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God, or you could say born of love. So when we miss it because we have his seed in us, we don't feel too good, do we? When we miss it, we say something, we act out a certain way, then something happens on the inside. We don't feel too comfortable. That's his seed, his spirit, his eternal life, bearing witness with our heart saying, don't do that anymore. You know, that wasn't right. And so what do we do? We correct it. And he's patient with us. Glory to God. I like this. This is 1 John 4:7-8, verse 7. In the Passion Translation, it says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. Oh, boy. I love the way this talks to me. This says here, it says, where to what? Let his love continually pour from you to one another. You have to let that happen. And then when it goes on, because God is love, then this is what I like. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. So when we've become born again, we've been fathered by God. And because we know Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says that the love of God has been what? Shed abroad in what? Our hearts by the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Ghost. And let me read this. I like this in some of these other translations. Listen to this. These are some, I won't call them obscure. Some are translations. Some are not translations, what's the word I want to use? They're transliterations, I guess, or no, they're paraphrase. That's the word I want to use. They're paraphrase. The Johnson paraphrase. But this is the Jordan translation. Listen to this. For God has given us a love transfusion. Oh boy, I like the way that reads. God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Spirit he provided us. So when we became born again, you know, the King James just says, well, the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. This says we've gotten a love transfusion. I went to Dr. Jesus and he gave me a transfusion of his love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then this is the Blackwelder translation. It says, God's love has poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. Yeah. So God has poured his love into us. In other words, it's in us. Now we have to do something with it. We have to act upon it. And let me just share here as we look at this. In John 15, and we're familiar with some of these this passage in John 15. But when God talks to us, this is Jesus speaking. So when he says here in John 15, we're to love one another, and we're to do what? Bring forth fruit. And then in John 15, it says that without him, we can do nothing. If we don't stay connected to the vine, that's verses 1 through 5 and 6. But starting in verse 9 of John 15 in the King James, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that what? You should love one another as I have loved you. Whenever he says, as I have loved you, it means even as, or you could say, in the same manner as. In the same way that he has loved us, we're to love one another. You might say, well, that's a difficult thing. Well, in the natural, yes, but because we've received a love transfusion and we've been fathered by God, we can love. Your flesh doesn't want to. Your soul may not want to, but your heart does. And there's this fight that goes on, right? That instead of loving, I want to do something else. I want to say something or do something. But John 17 and verse 3, and the King James says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now listen to this. This is the Passion Translation. It says, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. And the New Living Translation said, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So eternal life, and this is what this is saying, is to know God, and God is love. Since God is eternal, then love is eternal. Because God is love. So that's why we can say in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails, because God never fails. God is eternal, love is eternal. So eternal life is to know God or love. So love is eternal life. God is love. Love is eternal life. And life never fails. Eternal life never fails as long as there is love. So what are we saying? John 13, 34. This is Jesus speaking. A new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that what? Ye are my disciples if you have what? Love one to another. And when you look at these words, you know, in the English language or in any language, you have what? You have a noun and you have a verb. And the verb is meant to be what? Something active, something that you do. So when you look at this, the nouns and the verbs, you can see in here in John 13, 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love, that's an action, that you love one another. That word is agapeo. Agapeo, as opposed to agape, one is a noun and one is a verb. Agapeo, that's an action, that you love one another, you do something. As I have loved you, as he loved, he acted. What did he do? He sent his son Jesus. That you also love one another, agapeo. So he's saying here, it's not enough to just say I love you, you need to show something, you need to act in love towards one another. Now let me read this. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, because we want to look at what is not the world's definition of love, but what's the revealed word of God? What does God's word say about the love of God? What is the love of God? And we see from Paul's revelation what the love of God is, in 1 Corinthians 13. But I wanted to read it in a couple of translations. This is the Amplified Classic, verses 4 through 8, 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love, so let me back up. So if we're talking about what says to love one another as I have loved you, so we say, well, what is love? This is love here. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Now, this is a translation. How many have heard of Jack Hayford? Some have, some have. Jack Hayford, a longtime minister of the gospel. This is his translation of verses 4 through 8, called the Hayford translation. Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. That means, you know, somebody who's flamboyant. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Now, there you go right there. That, you had to put that in there. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. You might say, wow, that's a big task. But I can tell you something that I started, it was a couple years ago, I started teaching on the love of God and some lessons. And I remember reading some things about Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said, you should read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. So I started, and I challenged the congregation at that point to read it for the next 3 or 4 months. Well, I just continued, and it's been a couple of years. And I read it every day, at least twice a day. Sometimes if I miss it, it's not that often, but I miss maybe one time. But I read it when I get up in the morning, and I read it before I go to sleep. And I've been doing that for a couple of years. Now, what has happened, and the Word will do this, the more you meditate in the Word, what is Psalm 119, 130? The entrance of His Word bringeth light. It bringeth revelation. The unfolding of His Word bringeth light. So what happens is things that you did in the past, things that you may have done in the past, when you keep letting the Word in, it begins to change you, and things where your flesh goes and says and does something, or maybe you were a little aggressive here, or maybe you didn't handle pressure the best way you should have, and you kind of, you know, acted out a little bit under pressure, the Holy Ghost will start working on your heart and say, no, we don't do that anymore. That was wrong. You need to correct that. You need to control yourself. You need to think the best of others. You need to not think wrong thoughts about something. It may not be something. It may be some. May not be someone. It may be something, right? You may not have the right thoughts about something. And you may think some thought about something. Why are you thinking that now? Why are you even thinking about that? Let it go. You know, and so I'm not talking about, you see, I think there's a difference. What does the scripture say? Perfect love casts out all fear, casts out fear. So fear of anything is not walking in the love of God. So we have to begin to let the love of God begin to work in our hearts. Yes, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, but we have to let the word of God in, and we have to continue to do what? Act upon it. So as you end up at the end of verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, then when we look at the next verse in chapter 14, you know, they didn't write these with chapters and verses. They just continued. This was a letter to the church of Corinth. So when we look at the next verse in verse 14, after we just got done reading all about love, this said here what? King James says, follow after charity. Follow after it. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now listen to this. This was sort of the theme for today. Listen to the New Living Translation of verse 1. It says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Now, I'm going to read two more. Listen to the Message translation. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Mm-hmm. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. Now listen to the Amplified. See, that's why I say it's good to look at other translations, because we just look at that and say, follow after charity. That's nice. No, it says in the New Living, make a life of love your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. Listen to the Amplified Classic. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your greatest quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will, and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Now, I'm going to just read a paragraph from a book by Rick Renner called Sparkling Gems. And he shared something about this word, follow, in verse 1 of chapter 14, because he's a Greek scholar. But he said, this is the love that Paul urged us to follow after when he wrote 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. The word follow is the Greek word dioko, which means to hotly pursue it, hotly pursue. It was a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally gets his game. This means that attaining this high level of love doesn't come easy. If we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and aim of our lives, the love of God. And I'll tell you, this just helps for me. It says, as believers, this is just my thoughts here. As believers, our great quest in life should be making the daily decision to walk in the God kind of love as I walk through life. That should be my goal, to walk in the love of God. Now listen to 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. This is the King James translation. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall do what? Cover a multitude of sins. What does love do? Love covers a multitude of sins. Well, you can see that, what we just got done reading in 1 Corinthians 13. This is amplified classic of this verse. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. It forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Now listen to 1 Peter 4:8. Listen to this in the Message translation. It says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Oof. We don't think about these things as much as I think we should. Love makes up for practically anything. Love makes up for practically anything. Now, I'm just walking through Scripture to support this and to help us. But let's look at John 14. This is Jesus speaking now. But I'm going to look at this in the Passion Translation. It's the TPT, if you're looking up online, the Passion Translation, verse 21 through 23 of John 14. See, after you get done reading this, you don't have an excuse. There's no excuse that says, I can't walk in love. No, you choose not to walk in love. But the Scripture, there's enough support here to show us that God has put his very nature inside of me. And as I like the translation says, he's given me a love transfusion. So the love of God is in there. I just have to yield to it and act in love. And he will empower me. But now listen to this. This is what I like in John 14 in the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 21, it says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me, oh boy, listen to this, will be passionately loved by my Father. Oh boy. Whoever passionately loves him will be passionately loved by my Father. And listen, this is what Jesus said. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. What did we get done reading? Life, eternal life, is love. Love is eternal life. So he will manifest his life within us. This goes on, verse 22. Then one of his disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Listen to verse 23. Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Ooh. Loving me empowers you, meaning me, to obey his word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. So God, when we look to him and we love him, he will empower us to love those that are not lovely. That's the whole deal here. We're trying to do it in our own strength. You can't. You've got to look to him and say, Lord, help me. I love you. Help me to love others. And we can do it. Glory to God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. And this is the New Living Translation, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Now listen to this. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." So the roots, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's why I'm going to read some more scripture here. Now let me go on. In verse 18, "And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now listen to this. We just read here verse 17 in Ephesians 3 in the New Living. It says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." Listen to these translations. The Living Bible. It says, "May your roots go down into the soil of God's marvelous love." Listen to this is another translation. It's called the Laubach, Laubach. So it says, "I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep into the ground of his love." So the roots of our faith are to do what? Grow down into the soil of God's love. And from this is what it said in the New Living. Your roots will grow down into God's love and do what? Keep you strong. So this is why the love of God has to be our number one goal or aim. Because if we don't develop the love of God, and you're causing, again, to the degree that you develop your love walk is to the degree that your faith operates and is developed. Glory to God. Listen, this is God's word translation. Ephesians 3:17. "I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation." What should our foundation be on? The love of God. And the roots of our faith grow down into that love. And it keeps us strong and steady. Now, let me just close with this thought. Sometimes individuals will say, "I'm having a hard time walking in the love of God." Well, let me share here. Let's look at Jude. Just one chapter, but let's look at verse 20 and 21. Just before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude, and let's look at verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read it in the King James and then the Amplified Classic. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's the next verse say? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now listen, in the Amplified, it says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up founded on your most holy faith, making progress like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, we could say praying in other tongues. Verse 21, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto eternal life. So sometimes when we're having sometimes a hard time walking in the love of God, you need to take some time and pray in the Holy Spirit. And that will what? Take you out of this natural thinking realm, and it'll do what? Make you more spiritually aware, because when you pray in the Spirit, you become more spiritually conscious of things, more spiritually aware of things. Your spiritual senses are heightened, and you become more aware of His nature. And the love of God gets stirred up in our hearts, and not this carnal mind. What is Romans chapter 8? I think it's verse 6. It says to be what? Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we become more spiritually minded and thus easier to walk in love, or walk in love with difficult people. Now, I was just sharing this this morning. There was something, I'll just close with this comment. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And since we're kind of leading into this week, Thanksgiving week, and I thought about something about giving of thanks, and I was looking at something in 1 Timothy 2, the first few verses. And it got me to thinking about something, about walking in love and treating one another with the love of God. But this phrase, giving of thanks, when I read this the other day, I mean, it just literally lifted off the page for me. And reading in the King James of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, starting in verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. Then in my book here, it has a semicolon. Well, you know, a semicolon is really a continuation of it's two separate thoughts. Sometimes if you read, you could remove a semicolon, put an and in there. That's what they tell you. So if I took that and I'd say, and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for what? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So it got me to looking at this saying, okay, you know, we're quick to offer up prayers, intercessions, supplications, maybe for one another. But I'll tell you, folks are having a hard time. I look at things and I hear how people talk. Some folks are having a hard time giving thanks for certain things, because they don't like somebody or something, And it's like, well, they give you all the reasons why they should be saying what they're saying. But nowhere in this scripture does it say, give thanks if, and all of these qualifications. It doesn't say that, or exceptions. So that means we're to give thanks whether you like a person or not. It doesn't say, give thanks if you like them. It doesn't say that. We'd have to add that. So the problem we're having is not loving like God loves. You understand where I'm going with this? That God has done what? He forgives us for all of our shortcomings. And he gives thanks over us. And so we're to walk in love as what? Just as he walked in love. We're to think the best. Look, when we, all of our shortcomings, does he think the best of us? He sure does. He doesn't display all of our faults on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. He don't do that. And so what I find is that the body of Christ needs to do what, as they say, a checkup. You know how they say, do a checkup from the neck up. Do a checkup in your heart and see, should I be saying these things about so-and-so? Or should I be saying these things about our country, our nation? Didn't say it was perfect. It doesn't say here, pray for kings and authorities if we like them or if they're doing right. It didn't say that. God is going to hold the church accountable for some of the decisions because we're to do what? We are the ones that he said, you are to offer up prayers, supplications and intercessions for those who are in authority. Why? So that you stand in the gap for them and pray that God can supernaturally give them the right things and choices to make in our country. Could be in the federal government, could be in your local town somewhere. You know, I share this story because, and for the sake of time, I'll kind of try to net this out. We were meeting one time, and some folks had some very strong attitudes about the police in our county. This is down in Rockland County. They're prejudiced, they're this, they're that, and they're treating Black people the wrong way, we don't like them, blah, 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 blah. Okay. You know, so we listened. I don't like them. They're racist, they're this. So we listened, we said, okay. And so didn't want to say yay or nay, we just listened. They had some very strong feelings about it. But here's what they didn't know and what we did find out. And this is why prayer is so important. It said giving of thanks for all. You are to offer up prayers and supplications to who? To God. Well, here's what happened. There was a man that was working in the nonprofit business. He was an ex-priest. He was actually working with one of our members. He became a town supervisor, and he decided to run for office. Godly man. There was a lot of corruption in Rockland County. There was. And there was some real not good stuff going on in the county. But because of prayer, this man ran and beat the other person who spent like six figures to get in and reelected. He lost. This man got in, and within 6 months, he fired, because they were under FBI investigation, he fired the police chief, his assistant, the district attorney, and cleaned it all up. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that we should pray. It doesn't mean that I might not like what's going on, but when we sit, I was sharing this here and these thoughts. It's very difficult to give thanks when you don't love something. So God loves the people in a respective area, a country, a county, a city. He loves them. And we have to love like He loves. So if I love, I'm going to pray to God to make the necessary changes in a respective area and change it. To do what? Help the people. So that the laws get corrected. So that if there is corruption going on, it gets changed. But by me just wagging my tongue and complaining is not giving thanks. Does everybody understand that? Because I'll tell you, I had to stop and say, you know what? I've complained about a lot of stuff. And I was not giving thanks to God for the people that were in office. I wasn't giving thanks to you and offering up the kind of prayers and supplications. We're quick to complain. But how quick are we to pray and to give thanks? And that's the love of God. And that takes some working. In other words, some of us are quick to complain about our brothers and sisters in Christ and not love them and overlook some faults. So I just share that because this scripture that says follow after love, make it your goal, make it your aim in life. That means that when I find myself starting to complain about something, I need to pull back and say, why am I doing that? Wait a minute, why am I complaining? I have the responsibility. You know, the scripture says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, the new man is born in love. And so I need to operate in the love of God and operate more and do what? Make the necessary corrections. So when I see myself complaining about something, then I need to do what? Thank God and pray. If there are individuals that are in authority, whether it's in a job, whether they're a politician, whoever they are, I need to begin to do what? Ask God to give them wisdom to know how to do it better. Let the love of God and the light of God shine in. And God is more than able to raise up and to put down and change things. And so I just share those thoughts as we're going into this season that we need to think about the love of God, making it our goal, making it a quest of ours. Follow after love, make it your highest goal. And along with that, giving of thanks. Because you can't, what's the antithesis, what's the word I want to use? You know, you have synonyms and antonyms, right? Something that's the opposite of something, right? So when we look at something that we love, what do? We honor it, we value it. What do? We appreciate it, right? We appreciate something that we love. But what do when we don't love it? Well, we complain about it. What do? You disvalue it. You hate it. You disvalue it. You loathe it. And that's what we need to check and say, why do I hate this? Why do I hate that? Well, wait a minute. Let's look in the Word of God to see, should I be doing that? I should hate sin. but I shouldn't hate people. I should love people, and especially those that are in the body of Christ. And so we need to give thanks, and we need to love one another as he loved us. And so I just share those thoughts. Hope they helped. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is light and grace to our hearts. And we thank you that the seed of the word will come into our hearts and cause us to walk in another level and another a greater level of the love of God and greater anointing in the love of God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just share this as you operate in the love of God. You know, just think about this. I'll give you a simple example, right? In the natural, right? You're standing in the grocery line, you're waiting, and you're going, when the heck are they going to get done? Come on, hurry up, will you? Or you're riding down the road, get out of my way, blah, 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 right? Well, you're standing in line, and we all say, oh, we want to be used by God. But if you're not giving thanks, if you don't have a thankful heart, how does God operate in you by the gifts of the Spirit? Maybe the person in front of you is having a hard day. Maybe they're sick with terminal cancer. And maybe they're having a broken marriage or they got troubled children. And you're standing there complaining and you don't have a heart full of joy and love. And then God could speak to you and say XYZ about a person, pray for them. You see what I'm saying? That we have to have more of a heart instead of complaining all the time about stuff that gets in our way, right? I hurry up, you know, and get out of my way, hurry up, and because it's just selfish, right? Hey, we all been there. I've been there. We've all been there. Hurry up, get out of the way. I got things to do, places to go, right? But you need to stop and begin to say, wait a minute. This nature, this flesh nature of mine, shut up. And I'm going to yield to God more, right? Because otherwise, we're just going to let this mind and this selfish nature that resides in us to have dominance. Praise God. Well, let's say this before we leave. Father God, I thank you and purpose to walk in a greater level of the love of God. I am going to make it my main goal. I'm going to make it a quest to walk in the love of God and to treat one another with the love of God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it. And when God checks me, I'm going to correct it. You know, God's not this big ogre. He's going to mash you with a masher, you know. We all miss it, and some of us keep missing it until it just, you know, if you get the word of God down in you, you're opening your heart up for God to begin to work on your heart in certain areas of your life. And so that's what I'm saying, that, you know, when we go into this world and deal with imperfect people or difficult people, it's going to take the love of God to break through that. You don't know why those people are difficult. Maybe they were abused. Maybe they had a difficult life. Maybe they had a very, very hard upbringing. And so they've built this shell to protect themselves. They don't want to get hurt. Right? I could understand that. But what's going to break through that? The love of God. Not you, you know, fighting with them, right? It's the truth. And I believe that out of the body of Christ walking in a greater measure of love, we're going to see more glory, more miracles, more signs and wonders, and more demonstrations of God in and through the body of Christ. Because we walk in love. I believe it. I do. Praise God. Amen. Let's say this. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.